Now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to Shout Out Radio.
The LGBT radio that's made just for you. I'm Mitch McMurrow and he's Andy Thomas. And today on the show...
What's it like to be LGB or T and in the Middle West? And as it gets colder, cast your mind back to Western Supermare Pride.
All that and more on Shout Out in the next hour.
And more, and more,
and more. What about you?
What happened? You what?
You went Middle East. It's Middle East, I think.
Oh, did I say East? Oh, sorry. I meant to say East.
No, I know. You were just like...
I thought you meant like the Midwest. Like the Midwest of America.
No, Middle East.
Oh, the Middle East. Quite a different place.
Yeah, no.
Very different.
Yes.
Who are we talking to?
Oh, some of the attitudes might not be...
And yet, some real similarities.
Hang on. I'll get it. Oh, no. I'm rubbish at pronouncing names, especially when they're foreign. How do you say that? Faddy... Go on, have a go. You have a go. It's on your show notes, on the last page.
On the last page, I will say the name.
So Ivan's going to be... Ivan interviewed him earlier. And they're going to be listening and going...
Faddy Zagmout.
See? It's not that easy, is it? So
isn't that the way you say...
I don't know. I honestly don't know.
I dare say
Faddy Zagmout. Normally, you see, when an interview is pre-recorded, I get to hear it beforehand because I put the show together the night before. But this is so hot off the press that it arrived on my doorstep a couple of hours ago. So I haven't actually heard today's interview. But I've been told it's very good. So, and I know they're listening because they've been tweeting earlier. So hello to you. I'm sorry, and I'm really sorry. I'm rubbish with names. Don't hold it against me. So
don't be surprised when you go somewhere and someone calls you Andy Thomas. Then you go both ways.
So now, and can I? It's going to come up in the news as well. But can I say a big congratulations to Justin Utley?
Oh, congrats, Justin.
You may remember, he's from originally from Utah. We've had him in the studio. He's come over and performed live. He had the most gushy proposal ever for his boyfriend.
And he loves his boyfriend.
It was
so
sweet.
It
was very cute.
If you haven't seen it, go to Shoutout's website, shoutoutradio.lgbt, and have a look on the news page. It's one of the articles on there. And we've even put the video up that one of them recorded. It's lovely. He flash mobbed his boyfriend.
Oh,
it was really sweet.
That is
and they all sang "Love Changes Everything." Aww. And then he got down on one knee, and I'm watching it. And
Justin asked
it.
Did Justin ask him?
Yes. And his name is Craig. So hello to Craig.
Hello,
Craig Nielsen.
Hello. Well, congratulations.
Yes. All good.
All good.
So, now, talking of events, here we go, Luce. I don't know if this all is going to work. This is last week in Studio 2. You should see Studio 1. It looks amazing.
It is. It is looking very professional.
Which is just as well, because Studio 2 is on the verge of falling apart, bless
this
it.
This table is wobbling.
Yes. I found half a set of headphones. It's all right.
It's fine. Yeah, we'll make do. Next week it's all plush and nice. So.
Yeah, it'll be lovely. And the seats are ergonomic for your back.
Oh. Well, you can stand up in Studio 1.
Oh, well, there
stand
you
up
go.
And present. You see?
Oh, well, I might just bring
it's
in a...
It's designed for it. It's a bit like BBC. It's all, like, proper microphones.
I might bring in a Swiss medicine ball and just balance on that.
You would. You would have...
We can do core workouts whilst presenting the radio.
But then you'd sound like that, you see, as you bounced away.
Well, yeah, but the stronger my core got, Andy, the better I'd get. And with
better
all...
with her breathing and her pronunciation.
Oh, I see. Right.
It's all part of a plan.
Okay, right, here we go. So, out shout for the week.
Yes, right. We missed this when it came out. Sorry about this. But it's still running. So, Trinity Centre has got a Vice and Virtue exhibition, which is all about the history. It's a collection of histories, written and oral histories of Old Market Street over the last 100 years. So, should be pretty good. So it's, you know, I mean, obviously that's traditionally where the gay village is located. So they'll be, they're covering a huge range of voices, not just shop workers, but also former sex workers and also members of the LGBT community. So yeah, it should be.
Yeah, I think we did mention this when it first started, but we haven't heard anything from you know.
Oh right, okay. Well, right. So the exhibition is still on at the Trinity Centre. I'm a bit shocked that I never noticed it, and I'm very sorry about that. It's running on until December. So basically, I'm bringing it up to say it's been going since July, and if you haven't caught it yet,
it's worth going to see.
Yeah, last chance coming up really, because it's really only got about a month left to run. So
brilliant.
And there's also a book involved in it as well. So
cool.
Yeah. So you know, a good bit of local history. Always really happy about that. Always something worth checking out, and it's free as well. So
we like free.
Yeah, always good to go see free stuff.
Yes.
So
we appreciate free.
Yeah, that's the going out one, and then staying in one, because you know, if you're going to go out, you can also stay in. I don't know. Might be worth doing. And that is there is a book launch, which is. Basically an anthology of gay fiction. It's coming out next week.
Anthology?
Yes. Well,
collection.
Collection of short stories. Yes, collection of short stories. Numerous voices from the LGBT community. Got a foreword from Stephen Fry, so therefore it, you know, it's got the cultural sort of, you know, stamp of approval. And that will be available in all good bookshops, also on Amazon from next 19th of November, so from next Tuesday. So...
Brilliant.
Yeah.
That's it, really, is it?
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Okay.
I would stop. Someone's taken over my computer.
Oh, right, so. Okay, right.
I can't make it stop.
So that's
stop.
It, we're now on an endless loop of giving out events, right? Yeah. Well, what can I think of? There's a housewarming in my house next week, and I'll be
going for a walk. Yeah. Everyone wants to join me.
Andy's
weekend.
Having a coffee morning in 2 weeks' time. We're just going to have to freestyle events until we're allowed to finally end the radio show.
We should now.
This is Justin Utley, and you're listening to Shout Out.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
Congratulations. So, have you seen the John Lewis advert yet?
No, I haven't.
No? Oh, this is the music from it. It's lovely. Okay.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Well, that was very nice.
It's lovely, isn't it? Yeah. That's called Half a World Away by, I think you pronounce that, Aurora.
Aurora.
So, who isn't very well known in this country, but she's in her own.
What country is she from?
I think it's Sweden.
Okay.
I didn't put that on the note, so. But yeah, no, people have been really weird about the John Lewis advert this year, because you know they're always kind of, they've become quite a sensation in themselves, haven't they, the
yes.
Christmas ad they do.
Yes.
But people are saying, you know, oh, why did John Lewis spend, you know, $7.5 million on this, blah, 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 etc. Well, apparently it's actually doing a huge amount to raise awareness of for age concern and people like that.
Yeah.
So, it's all about a little girl trying to get a present to a old chap who lives on the moon. It's really sweet.
Really sweet.
Yeah, Christmas, you guys, you're not allowed to mention Christmas yet.
No.
It's still November.
Don't.
Now, anyway, as I said, I haven't actually heard this for a change, but Ivan has been off speaking to a prominent Middle East LGBT rights campaigner and feminist writer. How do we say it? Faddy
Zagmout.
Basically finding out all about kind of the challenges over there. And I will let him explain it, because I'm sure he will do so. So have a listen to this.
Okay. The controversial best-selling book, The Bride of Amman, first hit the bookshelves in the Middle East 3 years ago. And that very book is now available to read in the English language. And its author, Faddy Zagmout, along with his book's translator, Ruth Amadzai Kemp, are both with me here today. Faddy and Ruth, welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Ruth, I'll come to you in just a moment, but can I ask you first, Faddy, can you give us a brief idea of what your book is about?
Yes, I always say that the book is about the social obsession in marriage, and how marriage is a very important social institution in Jordan. But the characters in the book, they can't get married because for many reasons. Because, for instance, the marriage institution in Jordan is still a religious marriage. So we don't have civil marriage. For instance, one of the characters is a Christian woman who falls in love with a Muslim guy, and they can't get married. There's also a gay character in the book, and we don't have same-sex marriage, so he gets, also because of social pressure, he gets married to a woman. And his wife also tells the story from her own point of view. There's also another character of a woman who gets sexually abused by her father, and she loses her virginity. And virginity is still a prerequisite for marriage in Jordan. For women, they have to be virgin. And also the last character is a woman who reaches her 30 years old, and she talks about social pressure on her to get married before reaching that age.
The thing about all these characters is they're all friends. They all know each other, don't they?
Yes. Actually, Layla, the main character, well, they all have their own section. They all are main characters, but Layla is the one who gets married to the gay man, and also her older sister is Selma, and her other friends from university, Hayat and Rana.
Regarding what these women actually go through and the way you've written the book, is it at all autobiographical in nature? I mean, have you actually met women who have gone through these experiences, or indeed have you experienced any of them yourself?
Yeah, actually, I only have a very small part of the book that is out of my imagination. Most of it is real. I constructed the storylines based on people that I know, or based on events that happened to me, or people that I know.
Ruth, can I ask you, how did you actually come across the book?
I was lucky enough to have a holiday in Jordan and was in a bookshop in Amman when I saw this book on the shelf. I thought, that's a great souvenir of my holiday. And I read it very quickly. It's a really gripping book, and got in touch with Fadi via Twitter quite soon after that to see if I could translate some of it for a magazine which was having its annual queer issue. And so I thought the bit about them, the gay characters.
So you were just translating an excerpt to start
with?
Yeah,
so I translated an excerpt first.
Oh, right.
And that's what was helped with find a publisher for the English edition.
Oh, right. Right, okay. Did you, Fadi, have any trouble finding a publisher for the Arabic edition? Because it strikes me as the stuff you're writing about is really quite controversial and taboo.
Mm-hmm. Arus Aman was my first book. It's the name in the Arabic, Arus Aman. I didn't know how to get it published, and I sent it to one Jordanian publisher and two Lebanese publishers, because I thought in Lebanon they have more freedom.
A little more open-minded there, aren't they?
Yes.
And again, they have a mixture of religions there as well, a significant Christian population as well as an Arabic publication. Muslim, sorry.
That's true, but then after 1 week I called the Jordanian publisher, and he said, yes, I read it, and I want to publish it for you.
So I bet you were over the moon when you heard that. One of the impressions, Ruth, that I got was that it's written very much in the first person, and it's a little bit like reading a diary, I guess, but not just an individual's diary. It's a diary of five different people.
But to be honest, just one thing I loved about it was the simplicity of the language and the accessibility of it. I think it does read like genuine young people speaking, yeah, or blogging. I think blogging is a theme in the book, and the sort of the freedom of expression through one of the characters' blogs comes up, and thought it's worth recreating that in the English as well. It's as if someone's writing a diary.
When you first read the book, did you think, oh, I'd really like to translate this?
Yes, because I love the plot and I love the language.
Yeah, it's a fascinating account. I mean, one of the things I wanted to ask you about, Fadi, is what sort of feedback have you had from women and gay men, or gay women, who've read the book, and particularly from those who have connections with the geographical region?
Yes, I have very strong reactions to the book, and many women just called me and told me that I expressed their feelings. They thanked me for that. I also got some letters from women who were married to gay men. They found themselves in the story. And also I got many messages from gay men, some of them who's still in denial.
So these are men who have felt that they have basically had to, under pressure from their families, have had to get married at some point in time, who identify as being gay, but marry a woman, for example.
Yes, but also some of them just because they were subjected to sexual abuse in their childhood, and they thought that's what made them gay, so they reject
right.
their sexuality.
A common misconception, yeah. Obviously. And I guess it works the other way around as well. There must be, you know, lesbian women out there who are forced or have marriages arranged for them, you know, so it must be an equal nightmare for them as well.
That's true, and it happens all the time in Jordan, and I know some of them who got married and then they got divorced after getting children, but after they were independent and have the courage to do that.
One thing I noticed when reading the book is you tend to steer quite clear of the role of religion itself, and in terms of the way social injustice applies to women, and you tend more to sort of apportion blame to the family and the idea that there's a patriarchal influence and that women must be subservient to men. Did you do that consciously?
Yes, that's true. I didn't want to go in direct conflict with religion. And second thing, because I think that religion is, for instance, Islam is very wide and very a big religion that can be interpreted in many ways. I witnessed myself, like, our societies are going back in conservatism. They weren't like this 20 years ago. So things are going back.
What struck me is that conservatism applies to Christian families just as much as it does to a Muslim family.
Yes, that's true. Like, you can see also Rana, the character of Rana, she's a Christian. She comes from a Christian family, and also because she loses her virginity, she escapes to Sweden because her family would kill her the same way like a Muslim woman would be. Like, it depends on how conservative the family is.
If I could, we could just sort of broaden the conversation a little bit around the rest of the Middle East. The book obviously focuses on Jordan itself. Are we seeing any advances for women in the region at all?
I would say, like, in the past 30 years, there has been much work done to promote gender equality, but nothing has been done on promoting sexual rights and body rights, because it's a culturally sensitive topic. All of the women groups and women NGOs work to changing the laws regarding women education, women empowerment, and these things did advance in the past. But in terms of body rights and sexual freedoms, no, there's no problem.
I was thinking to talk about maybe the fact that now women are, in Saudi, the simple right to drive a car is empowering. But again, their personal body rights, that doesn't really help them, does it?
That's true. But also, like, Arab women are conditioned to think that way, like to respect the culture and not to fight for their sexual freedoms and body rights. So you find only few women who are ready to talk about this and to fight for it.
Let me ask you about the veil, and I use that as a kind of broad description of the way women have to cover up their bodies, their hair, maybe even their face. And Ruth, I'd like to ask you this as well, because you visit the Middle East a lot. Do you feel vulnerable if you are not covering your face, or what sort of tradition do you observe when you are in the Middle East itself?
Personally, no, I've not felt that pressure at all. I have always put on the veil if I've been in a religious site or in the vicinity of a site I thought was sensitive. And also, I suppose, in villages where I thought that the atmosphere might be more conservative and I wouldn't want to offend people, but I tended to feel fairly confident knowing that I am a Western woman, actually.
Right, so, yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to submit to that.
Yeah. It's interesting, actually, because one of the things that you brought up, Fadi, in the book was that one of the women was thinking about choosing to wear the veil, not necessarily out of religious conviction, but because she was being harassed sexually by her boss. And I just wanted to sort of get out there the idea that actually, you know what, it's not necessarily a religious thing, but this is something that men almost force women to do, because otherwise they, you know, they see themselves as maybe an object of sexual desire, or they're asking to be treated in a certain way.
Yeah.
Is that a message you really wanted to get across?
Yeah, that's true. And the veil has been growing on the society also in the past 20, 30 years. Most of the women were not wearing veils before that.
Well, Fadi and I have been talking about these issues a lot this week, and I thought it was interesting the way, Fadi, you said that, yes, in the last 20, 30 years, cultures across the Middle East have been getting more conservative, particularly where there are secular governments people are unhappy about. Religious conservatism has grown. But in very recent times, since the rise of Daesh or ISIL or ISIS, actually there's been a reaction against that, and people are taking the veils off again.
Right.
So say we're not associated with that.
It's actually worked the other way around.
It depends
then
where people are and how safe they feel.
Do you see the internet, particularly social media, as an important tool in order to affect any kind of change for both Arab women and the LGBT community as a whole?
Yes. For instance, for me, when I started to blog in 2006, I wanted to address these issues that I didn't used to see in traditional media. So the internet opened the space for us to tackle these issues, because if you You should go to any newspaper, traditional newspaper. They wouldn't allow you to publish. The social media opened the space for public debate, so now you can see stories, people debating with or against all the topics.
And I guess also social media has, as it has in the West, has made it a lot easier for gay men and women to actually introduce themselves to each other, meet, have relationships.
That's true. They're much more connected now online.
But of course, also it's a double-edged sword, isn't it? Because it's been used in, certainly in Egypt, I know that, for means of entrapment, that the security services have used it as a means to track down gay men and or women, actually, and use it to take them into custody or imprison them or punish them.
Like any other medium, it can be used for conservative voices and for liberal voices. And you can always say, like, religious leaders or conservative forces that are strong using these medium much efficiently than the liberal voice and the liberal leaders.
Well, let me finish by asking both of you, if there was a single change in the Arab world regarding social injustice for women, something that you'd like to see change, what would be the first thing that you would like to see happen?
For me, I think it's probably the same as what needed to happen in Britain, which was financial security or freedom for women. Because what I really see is that women are trapped in their families until they get married, and then they're trapped within the family under their husband.
Yeah. They're allowed to go out to work in Jordan, but they have to give the money to the man of the family.
I would like to see like more tolerance in the Arab society, to openness to the other, like to respect each individual choices and the body rights and sexual freedoms for everyone.
And finally, for those who'd like to take advantage and who can now read The Bride of Amman in English, where is it available to buy?
A good online store near you. Also other venues for ebooks. It's on Kindle, but other ebook platforms.
So the usual places. And Fadi, I believe you do have a blog page. Where will we find that?
Yes, it's thearabobserver.wordpress.com.
So you are the Arab Observer.
Yes,
you are him. Well, Fadi and Ruth, thank you so much for speaking with me today. And I wish you all the best with the book.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
This is Justin Utley, and you're listening to Shout Out.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
And a big thank you to Ivan and
to
Fadi for that as well. Really fascinating, wasn't it?
Really interesting.
So, right now, stay with us. You're listening to Shout Out on BCFM 93.2, Bradley Stoke Radio 103.4, Glastonbury FM 107.1, Pirate Nation Radio, and of course, lovely Bass Radio.
I love our diverse, where we've got our fingers in lots of pies, haven't we there?
Speak for yourself. Anyway, this is Mr. Utley himself with Stand For Something.
The Shout Out podcast.
There you go, Mr. Utley, and Stand For Something.
Yeah, you stand for something, Justin Utley.
Honestly, you're all smut today, aren't you?
It's your smutty mind.
He's been working with Steph too much.
That's it. He just expects the double entendres.
Steph's having a lovely holiday away from us at the moment, isn't she? So I hope she's having fun. Yeah. So hello, Steffi, if you're listening. Yeah. So, right, shall we get some news headlines?
This is Shout Out News on Thursday, the 12th of November, 2015.
Two very different journals have joined the coalition of groups opposed to the government's proposed monitoring of all internet traffic. The daily socialist newspaper, The Morning Star, and the scientific weekly magazine New Scientist have both condemned the measure, which the government says is required to combat the rise of Islamic extremism and other domestic terrorists. As we reported last week, a coalition of left-wing, libertarian, techno-right, and LGBT groups have already expressed concern that the monitoring of all internet use might be used to harass people into rubber, leather, and minority sexual tastes such as S&M.
The radio has been a destination for LGBT listeners this week, as several networks have seen gay or trans-related output. On Monday, BBC Radio 3's season of Critical Thinking, the Free Thinking Debates, saw gay human rights activist Peter Tatchell taking part in a discussion on what institutions in the UK need overhauling. Meanwhile, on BBC Radio 4, a programme profiled the work of a Muslim sex expert, giving advice and support to the Islamic community on previously taboo issues such as S&M.
Fault lines within the community have been exposed. lesbian feminists launched an online petition calling for transgender rights to be dropped by the wider gay and bi communities, and for the T to be dropped from the acronym LGBT. This subgrouping of feminists are called TERFs, which stands for Trans-Exclusionary Radical Feminists. They tend to be on the extreme edge of feminism and have been accused of peddling hatred towards trans people, as well as, in cases, towards gay men. A counter-petition has been started, and spokespeople from the Human Rights Campaign in Washington and other campaign groups have condemned the trans-exclusionary stance as dividing and weakening the community.
The petition website AllOut.com reports that what it calls an enormous march for hate will be taking place in Barbados, where it's already illegal to be gay. A powerful coalition of religious extremists, alarmed at measures for equality taking place around the world, aim to mobilise around 50,000 people to pour onto the streets against gay people's rights to exist. However, the Barbadian LGBT network, BGLAD, is working with AllOut.com to raise funds for a pro-equality advertisement in Sunday's national newspapers to take some of the wind from the sails of the hate march. If you can spare any money to help with the advert, then they'd love to hear from you. Please Google AllOut.com to find out more.
And one for all you LGBT fans of science fiction. Peter Capaldi, the current Doctor Who, gave an extensive interview on Saturday with the Independent newspaper. Talking about his own love for the show, Peter said that he had no current plans to leave the programme and that he was enjoying meeting the legion of the show's enthusiasts. The paper also revealed that producer Stephen Moffat has suggested that the programme will air for at least 5 more seasons before the BBC makes any decision on its long-term future. Peter Capaldi said that the character existed in so many media now and in the public consciousness that it would survive in other formats even if taken off primetime television.
Justin Utley, performer, activist and friend of Shoutout, proposed to his boyfriend recently with a flash mob. He had been out with partner Craig. As they left the theatre in which they'd been watching an opera, hundreds of people joined in singing Love Changes Everything, a number from the Andrew Lloyd Webber musical of the same name. Justin then proposes, and we're pleased to say that Craig accepts, meaning that the two are now happily engaged. You can view the flash mob via a link at the Shoutout website.
That's lovely. And for these new stories and more, check out our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
For Shoutout News, it's been Natalie.
And Terry Starr.
Shoutout News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
Hello, I'm Dolly Rocket. A big shout out to Shout Out. Thank you.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
Now, just for Justin and, hang on, let me get his name right.
Craig.
Thank you. Sorry, I've not met Craig.
They
weren't together when Justin was over here last time, as far as I'm aware, so we haven't met him yet, but I'm sure we will in coming years.
He did show me pictures and he looked so gushy-eyed at his boyfriend.
They're both yummy, they are. They're really nice. And Justin's lovely as well. We've had him in the studio a few times now, haven't we? So.
Yummy, but, you said. Yummy was the word you used.
Yummy, yeah. Absolutely. Is that a bit too British to say yummy?
I think it's Gert Lush.
So, well, I thought we'd recreate the moment. So this is especially for you two.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Yeah, that was a little bit naughty because that was the original cast. But
that must have sounded phenomenal.
Well, it was a Stonewall Choral that, I think that's how you pronounce it. It's got choral with an E on the end, so called Choral. But it was them that did the actual flash mob. And I've seen some of the banter going back and forward on Facebook. They all sound like an absolutely wonderful bunch. But I couldn't find any recording of them apart from the YouTube video. So I thought I'd do that. So.
That would be like us getting sing out to do sing mob, I
sing
guess.
Sing mob. No,
what would you call it?
Still call it flash mob.
Flash mob singing.
Call it flash mob.
Yes,
so.
I always assume it's dancing.
Well, you get lightsabers.
I've done lots
well
of flash mobs, dance flash mobs.
I like the lightsaber ones. I think they're great. Yeah, they've done that here in Cabot Circus. Yes. Have you ever seen it? It's hilarious. Yeah, so.
Yes.
Anyway, now it's kind of getting a lot colder and dark and miserable.
It's time for winter walks and fires. And
so cast your mind back to a sunny day in August.
I'll try.
I'll tell you kind of the kind of time it was. It's when people were queuing for Banksy's Dismaland.
Oh, yes. Actually, it was raining when we were queuing.
Oh, was it?
Hey,
oh, okay.
Never
mind. Pretend it was sunny because it was actually sunny when this happened. So.
It was.
Now, Cheryl Morgan was on a day out at Western Supermare for Pride.
Mm.
This is Cheryl Morgan for Shout Out Radio, and I'm here at Western Pride. As you can hear, we've got some very good music in the background. I hope you're enjoying that. But in the meantime, I want to talk to some people. I've found Linda, who is one of the organising committee of Western Pride. Linda, how's it going today?
Well, quite good, I think. It's quite sunny, and that makes quite a lot of difference because, you know, obviously if it's raining, that puts a damper. But no, it's quite a sunny day. Nice steady stream of people coming in, very friendly. It's not without its work to get organised, but I think the hard work that everybody's done is kind of paying off, really. And it seems that people are actually having quite a good time.
It's a lovely big park you've got here. I mean, to a certain extent, we're rattling in it because it's so big, but there's plenty of room for expansion. So how bigger and better next year?
Absolutely. This is a learning curve. This is the second year we've done Pride. Last year we were in Grove Park, which is more in the centre of Weston, which is quite small. So we've kind of broken out of this. And yes, slightly rattling around, but we've got the infrastructure. We're kind of building the expertise to do the event, because it does take quite a lot of organisation to get this together. And we're kind of picking things up, learning as we go. And so, you know, it gives us plenty of space to get going for next year. So we'll be back, but much bigger and tighter, and I think it'll be even better next year.
Brilliant. And if there are people listening to the show who live in the Western area and haven't yet made contact with the wider LGBT community, what is there going on outside of Pride that they could get involved with?
That's a good question. There's the North Somerset LGBT Forum. So Nigel, who's our chair today, also chairs that. That's something that's going regularly. Obviously, you know, there's the kind of club and pub scene. I'm a little old for that now, I think.
You and me both, dear.
So I guess that quite a lot of people go off to Bristol, but you know, there's a small scene going on in Weston, but we're kind of off on a bit of a limb, really. So we're small but perfectly formed, I think, is the way to think about it.
I found a young person called Alec who is doing a bunch of videos for a school project. Alec, first of all, how may I pronoun you?
Male pronouns would be grateful very much.
Okay, so Alex, a nice young lad here who's doing this stuff for school. Tell me about this project you're doing.
Well, about a year ago this time, I started a group at school for all the LGBT and plus students, because I realised there was no support for us and there was no way at all that we could be comfortable, and our school wasn't open to gay, transgendered people at all. So I spoke to one of the teachers and I was like, look, can we start this up? And there's the teacher down there. So we started it up, and now when we go back to school for the first group meeting back, I hope to present this video of interviews to help give people hope and get the message it gets better and advice.
And your school is in Weston?
Churchill, between here and Bristol.
In the middle of darkest Somerset.
Yeah, basically.
Brilliant. Well, best of luck with the project, Alec. I'm really impressed that you're doing this.
Thank you.
I found Matt, who is Alec's teacher. Matt, can you tell us how the group managed to get started?
I was asked to run some assemblies on homophobia in September 2014. They went down really well with the students and staff. And from that, some of the kids came forward and said they'd like to have a sort of support group, information group about LGBT issues, which is something that I, you know, wish I had at school. And from that, Hero was born. And now we go around other schools and communities and families and work with them to either repair broken relationships if sort of there's been issues at home, and educate schools about how best to support their LGBT students as well.
Have you had any pushback from other parents because you're doing this?
There was some resistance from some of the parents initially, in that they weren't really sure, you know, the usual concerns about exactly what we were teaching them, because we run SRE workshops to sort of teach about the bits that the PSHE and sex and relationship curriculum misses out. So there was some sort of concern about that initially, but generally the response has been really, really positive. And the senior leadership group at the school have been really supportive of everything we've done, so it's gone down really well.
And do you think what you're doing has had a positive impact in combating homophobic and transphobic bullying at school?
I'd really like to think so. I think the response from the students, the other students from the school, has been really, really positive. We've run 2 weeks of assemblies on homophobia and LGBT issues, and both times the response has been really, really good. We had some really, really good conversations amongst the students, and we have a zero tolerance policy at Churchill, and that is reflected in the student body, so it's been really good.
Oh, brilliant. I think it's a wonderful thing you're doing, Matt. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for talking to me.
I've just found the Mayor of Weston. Welcome to Pride, sir.
Thank you very much. Nice to see you here.
So this is all very impressive.
Well, last year was the first one, and I actually went to that as Deputy Mayor, and this year I've come to this event as Mayor. And it's interesting to see so many people and so many different stalls here.
Of course, this year we've got a lot of competition. I see that Weston is suddenly internationally famous.
Yes, indeed. This dismal land has certainly caught the public's attention all over the world. People have heard about it, and a lot of people want to come and see it. I went to see it last week, and I found it very moving. It's quite thought-provoking.
Well, thank you very much, and here's hoping that it makes lots of money for Weston, which allows you to have bigger and better prides in future.
Hello, you're listening to Zoe Lyons, and you are listening to Shout Out Radio.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The summer.
Oh, I miss it.
Summer.
Miss it.
So, anyway, it's Children in Need coming up soon.
The Shout Out podcast.
There you go. Take Me Home by Jess Glynn. That is the... what's it? Children in Need.
That time of year again.
It is. Pudsey. Yes. Pudsey's out
tomorrow.
If you're listening abroad, it's a big fundraiser that the BBC
telethon.
And lots of people dress up and do lots of silly things to raise money for children
the
in need.
The mascot is Pudsey Bear.
Did you know it's one of the BBC's oldest programmes?
Is it?
It started in about 1929.
What, Children in Need?
Yeah, originally it was a weekly radio appeal.
And
in the 70s they changed it to an annual telethon style thing.
Oh, yes, I remember the telecon style where all these people were sat there and famous people were sat behind telephones and you'd never knew who you were talking to.
Yeah.
Did they do it some years in the telecom tower as well, the one that revolves at the top?
I don't know, they might well have done. They might well have done. But yes, it's on 7 o'clock BBC One.
Tomorrow night.
If you're if you're in the United Kingdom.
If you're listening Friday live. If you're listening on the repeats, like on Base Radio, which
goes out
tomorrow.
If you're on Base Radio, then it's going out now.
It's not. It's Friday the 13th.
There's going to be a lot of events going on. And, go along, join in, give some money, be nice.
My sister jumps out of an aeroplane for them.
Every year?
She has for the last... I don't know if she is this year. I haven't seen it,
wonderful.
Actually. But she,
that's great.
She goes
with a parachute.
Yes, of course. But she's done it so many times tandem now that she's actually licensed to jump solo.
Great. Wow. Yeah, you have to do it several times, don't you, before you can do solo. Yeah.
And what we need her to do is take some shout-out leaflets and start showering
throw them.
Showering all over the West Country.
Get done for littering.
Although she's not in the West Country. She's over Southampton kind of way. So.
Oh, well, we welcome people from Southampton. Yeah.
It's just south. It's south.
But yes, no, there's lots going on.
There will be.
Has anyone here got a Blue Peter badge?
I've got a fake one.
You've got a fake one.
Oh, someone out there's got one.
Oh, Mike Edney. You've got a Blue Peter badge.
Wow. He's shaking his head. So he's saying yes. It must have been for the Christmas decoration he made or something like that, probably.
Do you remember? And here's one I had earlier.
Yeah.
Do they still do that? Blue Peter's still going, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah,
it's
got a
program.
Bit of a different format.
Remember Tracy Island and Blue Peter?
Yes.
No.
One of the top toys for Christmas thing, is they've redone a new Tracy Island.
Oh, really?
Apparently, apparently the things sort of fly out and almost take off, stretch your face, everything.
Martin Spilacy, our friend Martin, who does the nostalgia programme on BCFM, he interviewed Peter Purvis a few weeks back.
Oh, yes.
Of course, he presented... Blue Peter for a long time in the 1970s.
Yes.
I remember making what do they call them? It was out of coat hangers and you hung it up at Christmas.
It's a candelabra.
Christmas candelabra.
I remember doing that when I was a kid.
Wrapped tinsel around the hanger.
Anyway, we're not supposed to be talking Christmas. It's November.
No, we're not.
I know Carl will be at home saying, "Shut up, don't mention the C word."
We're not talking.
Well, can we say hello to everyone on their way down to the LGBTQ Emotional Awareness Evening at the Queen Shilling?
Oh, yes. It's their party.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. 5 years.
Yes, happy birthday to you. If you want more details, it's on the events page on Shoutout's website.
That's right. They came in a few weeks ago to tell us about the event, didn't they?
Yes.
So,
And if you're not on your way there now, get a taxi.
Yes. We're going to go down there afterwards.
Oh.
Anyway, I just need to say this and share this, that I'm really disappointed.
Oh.
I don't know who watches X Factor. I don't care. But
we don't
Shaun Miley Moore had got voted off, and he was the one with the best voice I've ever heard on The X Factor, and he just presented in this very gender fluid way, and he was very theatrical and just a fantastic singer, and I'm really upset he's gone. Oh. And I'm never watching X Factor again because it's all a pile of pish.
Well, if you're gonna cry, could you stay away from the mixing desk, please?
I'm not crying anymore. I'm not crying over that program anymore.
I have to admit, I stopped watching X Factor a few years ago. I just got bored with it. My favourite of all time was still Shane Ward. I thought he had the most amazing voice.
But where's he gone, Andy? Where is he?
Well, he got dropped by Simon Cowell, I believe, didn't he?
Why was that, though, Andy?
I think they had a little bit of a falling out. If you believe the press, anyway.
Yeah. Nothing to do with drugs or alcohol.
He has had several. we should point out that he's unsubstantiated.
There's unsubstantiated rumours.
Before he's completely libelous. Yes. So he had several albums out there. They were very good.
Yes, I remember. He's popped up in the gay press once or twice, and I think he's done some Pride festivals, if I remember right.
Yeah. Is he? Yeah.
So, and who else have we had? Alexandra Burke.
Leona Lewis.
I do like Leona
Lewis. One Direction.
Lewis,
Ollie.
Oh, well, yeah, Wonder it says the one with the One Direction mug.
I've got a One Direction mug, but
they look about 12.
They do. They've still got Zayn in it, so it's not.
Wasn't there Ollie Murs?
Oh, yeah.
He came second, didn't he?
Oh, did he?
Yeah, because, wasn't it somebody else that... what's the guy? Homeless guy.
It just shows
what's
you better off to
Yeah, someone's going to be shouting at the screen now.
Yes, I can't remember his name.
Never mind, anyway.
It was very soulful, anyway.
Keep shouting the answer, anyway. I'm sorry we can't hear you.
Yes. For all that and more, please phone in with your answers on a piece of paper and we'll send you a prize.
Will we? We've got prizes now,
we've got prizes, Andy.
Prizes. Anyway, that's it for this week. Once again, huge congratulations to Justin and Craig. And I have to say, well done to the Stonewall Chorale as well, because their singing was just wonderful. It was lovely.
Yeah, and all the news stories and events and podcasts are up on our brand new home, Shoutout Radio. LGBT.
Next week we've got a rather special show for you because it's a Transgender Day of Remembrance. Join us for that live from 7 and then repeated on several other stations. But for myself and the team, say bye-bye, everyone.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Shout out.
LGBT Radio for you.